Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Tuesday, October 26th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today on the pod, I'll be joined by Brian Swain. We'll talk some jerseys, as it's 20 years ago today, the Oilers... presented us with those Todd McFarlane jerseys. And yeah, let's just go back to that day. Were you a fan back then? Are you a fan now? Or you've never been a fan, or you've always loved them? Do you want to see him make a comeback? So we'll talk about that. Also, we'll remember Joey Moss. We'll get into the Oilers 5-0 season. And yeah, just have some fun with good old Swainer there. You can connect with him on Twitter at Brian Swain. He just does a ton of sports media and communication around the city. Does work for the Hockey Writers U of A. Also does a ton of NBA work, podcast, so make sure to check him out. I was gonna play some audio, but if we go along with Swing, we'll leave the audio for tomorrow maybe, and we'll tee up obviously as the Oilers get right back at it. They're taking on the Philadelphia Flyers, so that should be a fun game. It's been we haven't seen them since Friday, so I know you Oiler fans are all pumped to get this game going here. Only two games this week. They're back at it on Saturday from Vancouver, and then after that it gets pretty busy for your Edmonton Oilers, who sit at 5-0. Let's get to some quick news from the Edmonton Oilers skate today. Jason Gregor had some line. Nothing really changing on that aspect, as your top line was Hyman, McDavid, Puljujärvi. Second line was a dry line. Third line, Fogle, Ryan, and Cassian. And your fourth line was Shore, Perlini, and Turris. Defensively, Nurse with Bouchard, Keith with CeCe, with Slater Cuckoo, with Tyson Barry. Mikko Koskinen is your goaltender. And then just a quick little update here from Tom Gazzola on Mr. Mike Smith. Mike Smith was in full gear and back at practice this morning. Then Tommy also added, well, that was short-lived. Smith took a few shots early, then left the ice. So yeah, he's probably not ready to go this week. Definitely not tomorrow. Maybe Saturday, but if not, why don't you just push it? Especially if the Oilers win tomorrow, just push him until next week. No need to rush him back. And that's pretty much everything coming from the Edmonton Oilers. Not a lot of news. I mean, I know it's a hockey podcast, but the Elks did acquire a quarterback, Nick Arbuckle, from the Toronto Argos today. An interesting move for them for sure. So the Edmonton football team or the Elks making some news on this day. But I mean, the news of the day was the Blackhawks news here, as the Blackhawks had the they had their presser today. Stan Bowman's time with the Blackhawks is over. The team announced their general manager and president has stepped down today in wake of an independent investigation into allegations that then assistant coach sexually assaulted two players in 2010. So this story, we heard Rick Westhead report on this months and months ago, and finally some news. Bowman's right hand man Al McIsaac also forced out on Tuesday as well. And Kyle Davidson, formerly the Hawks vice president of hockey strategy and analytics, will take over as interim general manager. And then this is what the words have to say. Rocky and I appreciate Stan's dedication to the Blackhawks and his many years of work for the team. However, we and he ultimately accept that in his first year as general manager, he made a mistake alongside other senior executives at the time that did not take adequate action. And this story is just you can find you can find all of it on tsn.ca, anywhere pretty much. The story is everywhere. You can kind of see the findings of the independent investigation. There's also follow the timeline on TSN, and a lot of disturbing and sickening things happen here. I suggest, I'm not going to get through it all with you here because there's so much, guys. There's so much, but read through it. There's some hard parts for sure. It's not an easy thing to read here, but Stan Bowman out along with his right-hand man, and there's more to come. Joel Quenneville was a part of it. Mark Bergeron was there as well. Kevin Cheveldayoff was there as well. And by the reports, they all knew. And I know Quenneville and Cheveldayoff this summer said they had no idea of this. So who knows what's going to happen. They were also fined $2 million by the NHL. So it's I don't know about that fine. I mean, I've seen bigger fines for way lesser things. So go read it up. Like I said, I just brought it up because it is the news of the day. It's enormous news, and people are losing their jobs because of it. And the NHL said they're going to meet with Quenneville and Cheveldayoff separately and go from there. But you got to assume that both guys are probably going to be let go of their titles. Quenneville as head coach of the Florida Panthers, Cheveldayoff, the GM. Of the Winnipeg Jets here. So it's just an ugly, ugly story. But again, kudos to guys like Rick Westhead. I know Ben Pope, who covers the Blackhawks, did great work on this. And they didn't let it go away. And I think that's important. This stuff can't be happening in this day and age. And it's sad that it took 11 years for it to come forward like this. So it's hard to read. I'll just leave it at that. Go to TSN, and they got it all up there. And a tough story on a day like today. And then I'll just add, there's other news. Jonathan Toews added to the COVID protocol list. This team is just in shambles right now, and their COVID list continues to grow. And then the St. Louis Blues also added Ryan O'Reilly and Brandon Saad. A tough day for sure. And we move forward here, and we'll lighten the mood up a bit with Brian Swain, who's coming up next. But the Edmonton Oilers practice, not a lot of changes to the lineups, kind of the same lineups we saw. Fourth lines back together with Perlini and Turris on the wings. Cuckoo's on the left side with Tyson Berry on the third pairing. Mikko Koskinen in between the pipes is going to start tomorrow. Mike Smith was out there for a bit but left early, so no update on him as of yet. I know he did say yesterday that Wednesday for sure he's out, maybe Saturday, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, Koskinen can play these two games, there's no problem there. So we'll see what happens in that situation. Coming up next, but let's talk some Edmonton Oilers jerseys. Let's look at their 5-0 start. Can they keep this going? Brian Swain is coming up next here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Today I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contract, so stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. As I now welcome in Brian Swain, sports media and communication all over the city, writes for the Hockey Writers, does some NBA stuff as well, calls games for the U of A soccer team. Swainer, how you been, man? Long time.
Been way too long. I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Excellent. Thank you. You know what? We'll talk Oilers and all that fun stuff. And there's been so much news with the Blackhawks today. A lot to make of that situation there. But you tweeted out earlier today, 20 years ago today, the Edmonton Oilers unveiled their third jersey designed by Todd McFarlane. You also said it's long overdue for a comeback. It's funny because I still remember when these jerseys came out, Swainer. I wasn't on board. I didn't like them. And then I eventually got one. But as I've gotten older and I've seen some of the remakes, like the white ones and all that, I think they are overdue for a comeback. But what do you remember of that initial day? And were you a fan since day one?
Yeah, I think I was. They definitely grew on me over time too. It's funny because at the time, the reason I remember it so clearly that I know this was the day is my mom actually worked at, they did the unveiling at, it was called back then the Odysseum, but now it's the Telus World of Science.
Yeah.
They did this whole big splashy unveil there with like, you know, because it kind of had like a space motif to it, right? So they did it there. And so that's how I remember it so clearly, is because my mom was there and I actually got to go and hang out. This was well before my professional media days. So it was a pretty cool experience to be a part of that. And the thing that jumps out to me about those jerseys and what makes them so cool is that this has always been a team that's been afraid. I don't know if afraid is the right word, but they're very stuck in their ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that manifests itself throughout the organization. You know, you see it with the Old Boys Club forever, right? I mean, this is a team that's been very, very just, it's very kind of stiff and hasn't been really willing to embrace radical changes a lot throughout its history. And that jersey was such a radical departure from anything, you know, even that any other team was doing at that time, that really stood out. And I think that really resonated with a lot of people, and it certainly did with me. And I just think it's a cool jersey. And the link I tweeted out, if people want to check it out on Twitter at Brian Swain, I included in there a shot of the explanation for all the details of the jersey and the design and the logo, because it was heavily symbolic. And it's almost kind of funny how much symbolism they tried to squeeze into it, like almost like every little gear and component of the logo represents one thing or another in Oilers history. But it's actually really quite cool. Very creative. Of course, it comes from an incredibly creative mind with Todd McFarland, who was the guy behind the Spawn comic. I was part of the EIG ownership group at the time. So that's what just really stands out to me. And I just think it's so cool. And it's probably even more unique today than anything else. And it would be, again, such a departure from any jersey they've had over the last 20 years, of course.
What do you make of like what they're doing now? Like, we saw the reverse retros last year. A lot of people were a fan of those. We're seeing those kind of dark blue ones that they used in the playoffs last year that I'm okay with. I don't think they're the best looking ones, but what do you make of their setup now? Like, is there, do you want to see the Royal Blues make a comeback? Like, where are you when it comes to the Oilers unis?
I'm honestly not a huge fan of what they have right now. I mean, they're not terrible, but they're not great. I mean, I think my reaction is kind of like yours, like those, you know, the dark navies. It's just kind of meh, you know, they are what they are. Right. I did not like the reverse retros. You know, I don't know what exactly they were supposed to represent. They weren't exactly reverse of anything. And it's, you know, and they didn't, I just didn't think they looked good to be quite blunt. So My favorite set of jerseys, honestly, Hernan, and I think we all, it all probably has to do with, for us, it probably, there's some sentimentality to it about, you know, that maybe the jersey you most love, the teams that we grew up watching. For me, it's those, the late 90s jerseys. I just love that set with like the, when they went to orange to copper, went from the lighter shades of blue to the dark navy. Had the oil rig worker patch on the shoulders. I just love those jerseys. And of course, then they added the McFarland jersey was the third as part of that set. That's my favorite all time. I would love to see any of those jerseys incorporated back into the mix in some way or another, of course, kind of updated to fit with modern jersey designs. But those are my favorites. The ones right now, they're just okay. There's nothing wrong with them. I think at least one thing you could say about the Oilers is that they have their basic logo and basic design that is kind of like established itself as basically like a timeless classic. You know, it's like you look at logos like the Habs and the Bruins, the Rangers, like they're always going to have that basic, that their basic logo, mm-hmm. with the basic jersey designs around it that will always stand the test of time. And you can say that for the others, they do have that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they trend. I know a lot of people are asking for these McFarland ones to make a comeback. I think we saw a guy wearing a white one one of the first games of the season. It looked really sharp, but I know a lot of people were like, WTF, what is that? Yeah. So I'm with you. I remember back 20 years ago, Manimal Swainer, not liking them, but they definitely grew on me as well. So we'll see how the Oilers go when it comes to their look here in the upcoming years. Staying with the Edmonton Oilers theme here. I mean, it's been one year since we said farewell to the legend Joey Moss. Brian, you've been part of the media for a lot of years. You've covered both teams and the Oil Kings and all that. But just I remember last year was such an emotional day, and all the stations and podcasts had so many guests on remembering Joey Moss. But I don't think I've ever chatted with you about Joey. So any good memories you have from your days covering the teams?
Wow, I didn't even a year already. That's unbelievable. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Wow, yeah, you're right. Boy, I mean, we're in strange times right now, but that does not seem like a year ago already. Boy, he's any particular memories of Joey? I mean, I think it's just his I don't know if I could say I have anything specific, but just he was always there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was just always there, and he always brought it. There was an infectious energy about him. It's probably the best way I can describe it. And just having him around was just him being there was always going to kind of liven up the mood or brighten the mood a little bit. And that would be probably what'll forever stick with most with me. And man, I can't believe it's a year already. And I think it says a lot too about how much, you know, there has been a lot of really nice tributes and a lot of things that have been done in his honor since then to help remember him. And it's pretty, it's pretty special to think that it's still a year later that he's this much in the forefront. I think that that's probably very indicative of just what he meant to this city. Boy, that's unbelievable. But he's very much missed.
Yeah, I saw it today on Twitter, and I was like, oh, like I was kind of like you. I was like, it's already been a year, like, and it's just crazy. But he is missed, but he is remembered all the time here, and the Oilers honored him too with the statue in the dressing room and all that this year. So Joey lives on with all Oilers fans.
And the cool thing too, sorry, but I think it was Tommy G Gazzola who tweeted this out, but like the others, I think they're using La Bamba as their victory song this year.
They are. Because they
that
are.
Was
yeah.
His favorite song. And when I first heard that, I was like, "What is this?" Like, I was not. I'll be honest. I was not feeling the La Bamba wind song. But when I found out the story behind it, I just thought that was such an awesome tribute. And I hope they keep that forever now. Like,
that's
I think that
great.
Is so perfect.
It's such a good song. Like, I'm biased because I'm Spanish, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I absolutely love that song, and I love that it's their win song, so it's great. And you know, the players are always talking about him and miss him dearly. So I just wanted to remember Joey Moss. It's been a year since his passing, and the legend will live on here with us for as long as we're around here, because he was truly, truly a legend. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. To move on to the team this year, I mean, 5-0 start, Swainer. What have you made of their start, and can they keep this going tomorrow night against Philly?
Yeah, hey, why not, right? I mean, you get the feeling that every time this team steps on the ice right now, there's no reason they can't win. It really doesn't matter who's staring across at them from the other end of the ice. They've got a lot of I think the 5-0 record, maybe I'm not going to say it's misleading. I mean, there's certainly still a lot of things to work on, but who doesn't have a lot of things to work on, you know, after 2 weeks into the season? So they've had a fairly soft schedule, I guess you could say. I mean, only one playoff opponent from last year. They've had just the one back-to-back. So, I mean, it's been a very reasonable schedule. They've gone out and they've won the games that they should. It's been fun. I mean, they've had to score themselves out of a couple of tough situations a couple of times, right? I don't know if that's going to work every time. I mean, you can maybe do that against Anaheim. It might not work against, you know, Colorado or something like that, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with this kind of run and gun wild 6-5 games. I mean, this is, you know, you were saying you're old man. Hey, I feel old too, right? This is what we grew up with. This is like I'll take the It's funny because I was actually looking up. I think this is the fourth time in team history that they've started 5-0, and the first two times were like 84, 83, 84, 85, 86, and I was looking at those streaks, those games, and they're like, there were like 8-6, 8-5, 7-6 games in there. Like, there were games when they came back from like down 5-2. There were games when they were like leading 4-1 and were suddenly trailing 6-5, like kind of things, right? Like, it's just, but I just love it. I'm the kind of guy that the more goal scoring, the happier I am. So I find it very entertaining. There's so much fun to watch. And I'd be curious your take on this, Hernan. How many points, like realistically, how many points can McDavid and Dreisaitl get? Like, we were talking before at the early part of last season, it was like, maybe he'll get 100, but I don't know if any of us ever actually believed it. And then it just became becoming more and more real. And it seems like this season that like 150 now is kind of that benchmark number. It's like, can you get 150? Like, maybe, but it seems so, it's so far to go and so far away. But it's like every time I see him play and every night he goes out and has like another 2 or 3 point game, it's kind of like, why not, right? This is a guy who could hit 150. And if he's hitting 150, then why couldn't Leon too?
And that's the thing, right? We're sitting here and we're just like, 150 is not even like, we wouldn't even be wowed by that. We'd be like, yeah, it's Connor McDavid. Like, and he's off to an unreal start. So is Leon Draisaitl. Like, it looks like they're going to be 1-2 and scoring again. And the team's much better. There's more depth. The power play is just unreal. They're hitting at an enormous percentage right now. Can they maintain it? Well, I guess we'll wait and see, but it's truly amazing. Like, I mean, every year I feel like we shortchange McDavid a bit. We're like, well, he'll hit like 120, 130, but then like the start he's off to now, it's just like, 150 is right there for him. And it'd be truly amazing. I mean, we're so lucky here in Edmonton to be able to watch this guy. One last one for you, Swainer. What have you made of the new guys here? I mean, I know Zach Hyman for me has been like, wow, like I wasn't happy with the deal, like the term especially, but now watching him play in only 5 games, I'm just I don't even care about the deal anymore, because I think what he brings is just amazing. I've liked Warren Fogle. I mean, CeCe and Keith have been good so far. Derek Ryan's been a nice addition. I guess outside of Hyman, because I think everybody would say Hyman, what have you made of the new guys? Because I think we all agree Hyman's been just outstanding so far.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you too. I wasn't big on the term, but I understand that's what they have to do to get that deal done. And probably, as great as he is right now, we might be talking differently in 5 or 6 years down the line at the end of this contract. But I you know, you understand why Holland made the move, and it's about getting this team in a position to win right now. So Derek Ryan's really stood out for me. I got to know him a little bit back when I was covering the U of A when I was first starting out, and he was playing there way back in the day. And he's just like this. So he's a pretty cool story for anyone who doesn't know. Like, he kicked around Europe for a couple of years, finally broke into the NHL. Now he's really carved out a nice place for himself here, well into his 30s. And I think he brought a lot of things they needed. I think particularly on the draw, like, this is a team that's not had a go-to guy that can win them that important face-off. There just hasn't been anybody you can really count on. And he can be and has been that guy so far. But I think he just does all sorts of little things. He can chip in. You know, he'll probably give you 15 goals. He can kill penalties. I think you can slot him in with just about anybody on your bottom six. And I think he'll fit in seamlessly. Just a really good, he's a really good dude, but he's a good character guy. And I think you can see that already. You can see kind of signs of his leadership with, I noticed it particularly in the preseason. They were playing him a lot with some of the younger guys. And, I think he might have even wore the C in one of the preseason games, but, he's just like, he just checks all those intangible boxes, I think. And, you couldn't ask for a better bottom six guy, in my opinion.
Do you think they keep this streak going tomorrow in Philly?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Philly.
Yeah. No, I why not? Right. Like I say, like, I really genuinely feel that every time this team steps on the ice now that they could win, it really doesn't matter who they're going up against. I think they could beat Philly. I think they could roll into Vancouver on Saturday night and win that too. And that would tie the record for the hottest start in team history. And then I think they could set it. What is it? I think it's LA here next Monday. So I think that's who it is anyway. But, you know, I mean, I think it's, I'll say this, I think definitely this team could set the record for the best start in team history, which would really be quite something when you look at the history of this, or some of those incredible teams in the 80s.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see. Philadelphia poses a good matchup here, and it's nice to see the American teams back here playing in Edmonton. So yeah, it should be a fun one. Swinner, I know you got to get back to work. I really appreciate the talks on the jerseys, on Joey, and on this year's 5-0 Edmonton Oilers. Look forward to chatting here in the near future, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime, man. Good catch up with you.
That was Brian Swain. He's with the Hockey Writers. Does a ton of media work around our great city here with the U of A. Does some NBA work and the podcast and all that. So always a good guy. Good follow. Hit him up at Brian Swain on Twitter. And yeah, he's always got the good stuff. So would you bring the McFarlanes back? That's your question of the day today. All right. Okay, guys, let's wrap up this day. I mean, the Blackhawks stuff, it's just been, just reading it, it's disturbing, it's sickening. It's, oh man, like, yeah, it's not good, man. Just a very troubling story. And shout out to guys like Rick Westhead, Ben Pope covers the Blackhawks. They've done excellent work covering the story, and they didn't let it go away. And now we'll see what happens with guys that were with the team when all this went down, and they're with other teams now. We'll see if they can, we'll see what happens there. I mean, it's going to be quite interesting, to see what happens with Joel Quenneville and Cheval Day off there in Winnipeg. All right, guys. Yeah, tonight in the NHL, Calgary looks to go 4-0 on their 5-game road trip. They're taking on the Devils. Pittsburgh's home to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Vegas is in Colorado. San Jose is in Nashville. Vancouver hosts the Minnesota Wild. The Jets are in Anaheim, and Montreal is in Seattle to take on the Kraken. So that's your schedule today. And outside, I mean, not a lot of news NHL-wise outside of all this Chicago stuff. And there's still a lot more to come. Like I said, there's people that were part of the staff and that are now with other teams, and we'll see how this is going to be handled by those teams and the NHL after all. And the Oilers return to action. It's been a long wait. I know you're anxious to watch the 5-0 Oilers get back at it. They'll take on a Philadelphia Flyers team that presents some challenges. So it's going to be a fun game down at Rogers Place. 8 o'clock puck drop, and we're right back at it. So it should be fun. All right, guys, time to wrap up this podcast. For my producer, Juanito, I am Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. Sorry. We'll chat tomorrow.